thank you for those that are the backbone of any church and of this church, Lord. And I just pray you bless them today. Give them encouragement in this smaller service where we get together and the strong ones are ministered to. Lord, I pray you'd meet the needs of the strong. And Lord, we think of the Kreskes, Jesse's dad and mom. The dad is going to be in hospice. Lord, we just pray for your grace, your peace to be multiplied to him. As well as Harry Leeser, Lord, your grace and peace would be multiplied to him. And Father, that you would do some wonders that are from you, that are amazing. Lord, thank you for helping us to get here today. Father, a lot of churches shut down, but thank you that we could keep the door open and be here and give us safety, Lord, to and fro. We don't take that for granted. We just pray for that. Lord, a lot of sickness going on. And I just pray that you'd bring us through this with all the noisome pestilence going on. You say you deliver us from it. Lord, we've seen you do it. 2020, you did it. And Lord, you can do it again. We pray you deliver our president, Donald J. Trump, that you deliver from all the stuff that's going on that's evil and wicked, Lord, in our country. And God, that you might make a way for us to come through this and give your people repentance and give us a closer walk with you, Lord. I pray as we have this Sunday school class, which is on the new year and looking back and repenting of sin and laying aside weights, Lord, that you'd help us to do that this year so that we could really get the blessing from what this lesson is about. And I think of, the classes being together. Thank you for Alex being here and sharing. Lord, bless Ari, his wife, and her womb and all that she's going through with the baby. Lord, pray for your grace, your mercy, your help, and for Alex, that you'd give him grace, wisdom, and help him to keep on going as an example of a testimony of Jesus Christ in his life, Lord. And you know our needs, Lord. Help us each to overcome what we're going through, whether it's John with his tooth. Lord, bless him physically and spiritually. And just bless Matt's friend and his outreach. And Lord, we're going for 3 buses this year. Help us to do it through your grace, oh Lord. Thank you for bringing Steve and Patty back safely. Just keep your hand on them. Think of Jimmy Armitage. Bless him, Father, physically and spiritually. And Lord, bless the classes of the teachers that are here today. The classes can't be here, but bless the teachers, Lord, and that they could be a blessing to the classes. You know what we need. And thank you that you give us a purpose for being here. Thank you for a great Christmas time and New Year's. Father, thank you for that. And we just raise our Ebenezer. We look back and we know you've been with us and you'll go before us. So we just look to you to do it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, let's sing that last verse of 281. And then as we're doing that, singing that, Brother Jose, can you just hand this out and gather this? You all right? All right, just Brother Jose, and then that'll go to the treasurer, you know, for Sunday school. But just if you have an offering, there it is for our class. Already something's been put in there. So yesterday, today, forever, number 281, last verse. And that'll go to Alicia for Brother Jose. All right. As of old he walked to Emmaus with them to abide, so through all life's ways he walketh ever near our side. Soon again shall we behold him. Hasten, Lord, the day. But 'twill still be this same Jesus as he went away. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Amen. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Amen and amen. All right, everybody get a piece of paper. If you didn't get a piece of paper, raise your hand. I'll make sure you get one. That's for the class today. It's something that'll help us. All right. It'll help us. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. All right. Let's do this. Yes, sir, brother Jose. All right. This will help us for the class today. The lesson today is a New Year's lesson, okay? And we want to do this for New Year's. By the way, we're going to start in the adult class, all the classes. We're going to start next week with a series on the book of Genesis. So that's perfect for the new year. But this one is a New Year's lesson. And, you know, when you go to a store, maybe you've gone to Walmart. How many have gone to Walmart and you've gone to a shelf and you like something? It's a good product. You like it. And they go, oh, that's not here. You can't find it. And you get disgusted because you can't find it. And then you go to the clerk, a Walmart worker, and you say, where is it? Oh, I don't know. They don't know. It's not there. How many have had that happen? Am I the only one? I tell you, I don't like that. But anyway, it happens. And what's the problem? Well, we know part of the problem is the country. but anyway, one of the problems is people need to take inventory of how their products are moving and restock. And if something's moving faster, then you restock that. And I think in our spiritual lives, we need that. We need to take inventory and look over the last year and say, you know, where are we running short? Is it in prayer? Is it in soul winning? Is it in our personal walk with God? Where do we leak? Where do we leak? And find out where that is and then restock our lives. And does anybody know the holiday that Israel had where they would do that? They would look back and mourn over their sin for the past year. And then they would look forward to the new year and pray to God for a new path for them. There was one holiday. They had seven feasts in Israel. And there's one holiday where they did that. Anybody know it? Brother Matt. Yom Kippur. Yom means day, and Kippur is atonement, Day of Atonement. And in our lesson today, that's exactly what we're going to look at. We're going to look at a Yom Kippur. People would bring offerings to the Lord, and they would offer those offerings and have a feast. And then on Yom Kippur, they would fast, they would mourn, they would look back and mourn for their sin. Now, people say, well, we don't need to mourn for our sin. We need to rejoice in the Lord. But the Bible does say that... You know, in James, it says, be heavy. Let your laughter be mourning, turn to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. And look at your sin and your failure and get right with God. And so I believe we should do that once a year. I believe we should do it once every month at the end of the month. I believe we should do it once every week at the end of the week. When's the end of the week? Saturday, beginning of Sunday. I believe we should do it once every day at the end of the day. In fact, I believe we should do it throughout the day. That's what the old Methodists used to do. They would have a method, and their method was they would evaluate their life every so often throughout the day and make changes right there and get right with God right there. If your attitude has gone off, you know, get back to the Lord. And so that's what this class is all about. It's taking inventory, restocking our lives. And so what we'd like to do is divide your sheet into three sections. Section one, I would like to ask you to think back over last year, 2023. Write down all the outstanding events in your life that took place during last year. If you're like me, this is going to be problematic. But if you could think of anything, write it down over the last year. This would not work for me very well. I have to have more time. Write down any outstanding events. Divide your sheet into three sections. And for the first section, write down any outstanding events you could think of, you know, in your life in 2023. You know, it could be you graduated from college or whatever, you know. I'm sure nobody in here did that. But anyway, just stuff like that. My sister got married, or my brother died, or something that was significant that happened. You know, 2022, my father passed, November 30th, 3 p.m. That was a year before last year, though. But that type of thing. Broke your arm last year, whatever. And then in section 2, write down things that were started or continued last year that help you have a closer walk with God. Maybe it's something you already did last year and you just continued it. Well, write that down. It helped you. Anything that helped you with a closer walk with God last year, whether you were continuing something or starting something new last year. But we just are interested in anything like that. You know, like I started soul winning. I started having a private time, reading the Bible through, praying. I began tithing. Oh, I gave Faith Promise offering at the conference. You know, maybe you continued that, but it's all part of what helps us. And, you know, write down that kind of a thing as well. And then once you work on that section, we're going to just fold that in and put it aside for now for the lesson. At the close of the lesson, I'll take it out again. I'm not going to really worry about time. If I'm a little over, I'm not going to worry because, you know what I'm saying. We'll get out on time, but from the final service, we can do that. But this class, we'll make sure we get this done because this is important. It'll help us. All right, so I mentioned once a year the children of Israel would have the Day of Atonement, and that's in Leviticus 16:34. This is the lesson now, so you can just put that aside. Once you're done with it, if you want to work on it a little bit, you can, but once you're done with it, just fold it up, and then we'll do the lesson. But the lesson, you know, the children of Israel had the Day of Atonement once a year. That's in Leviticus 16:34, Leviticus 23, verse 23 through 32. And the people were told to gather together to the tabernacle. And they would bring their sacrifices. They would, like I said, offer them to the Lord, have a feast, eat them, and then they would remember their sins and waiting upon the priest and so forth. Honey, could you do me a favor? See if there's a bottle of water somewhere. I am dry as a desert. I'm like, I've needed water lately for some. Oh, I don't want to take yours, Jose. There might be one in the... Check the fridge first, man. Might be one in there. Thank you. Thank you for offering, though. So, yes, ma'am.
What do we have to do for the third part?
We don't have it yet.
Oh, okay.
We didn't give that yet.
Oh.
Just, I think I gave the second, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but not the third yet. We'll get that at the
okay.
end. All right, so the people... they would gather together, and like I said, they would give their sacrifices, have their feasting, and then they would fast, and they would do that on the Day of Atonement. So as they gathered each year, they would think about their joys, also their sorrows, their victories, and their defeats. That's also a good thing to think about, your defeats. Why? Because if something defeats you, you don't want to repeat that. So the Lord commanded the people that before... that they must afflict their souls for the Day of Atonement. They must afflict their souls. They would fast, and it would help them to do that. And they must bring themselves low before the Lord. If any person did not humble himself before the Lord, repenting of his sins on that day, he would be cut off from among his people. Now, what does that tell you? Well, if we don't take times, like when we have the Lord's... We had to take Jose? Thank you, Brother Jose. I'm sorry. If you know, we don't take time to do this, we could be cut off spiritually from God's blessing and wind up falling. So it's important that we take these times. There was to be a set time a year when each individual stood out and stood soberly before God and did these times. And boy, does that taste good. And then I want to give you an example in the Bible. So please go to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. It's interesting. I very rarely drink water like this, but I need it now. I can feel it. 1 Samuel 1 and 2. And here's an example of this feast and looking backward in your life. All right. First of all, let's look at verse number one. It says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim. His name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite." Now, he lived in the land of Ephraim, which is in northern Israel, but he was of the priestly tribe. Why do you think that was? Why would he live in the tribe of Ephraim's area when he was of the priestly tribe? Does anybody know? The priests were spread out all through Israel. Remember? They were from the Levites, and they were given cities in every tribe. So he's living in Ephraim, but he's a priest. Just keep that in mind. And then number two, he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. All right, that's significant. And this man, look at verse 3, went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Okay, once a year he went up there. This would be, I believe, the Day of Atonement. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. We know who those guys were, but they were the full-time priests working there in the worship center at Shiloh at that time. Not Jerusalem yet, but Shiloh. And verse 4 says, "And when the time was that Elkanah offered his sacrifice, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portion." So that meant he offered the sacrifice and then they could eat. It was like a feast time. "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion." Why? "For he loved Hannah, for the Lord had shut up her womb." Now, he loved Hannah. Now, I read, "but the Lord had shut up her womb." It's in every word Bible. That's not what I said. I read, "for the Lord had shut up her womb," which means he loved her because her womb was shut up. But that's not true. He loved her more than Peninnah. Fact of the matter. And she was his favorite. And so it says, "but the Lord had shut up her womb." So even though she was greatly loved of her husband, the Lord had shut up her womb. Look at verse 6. "But her and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb." Who do you think her adversary might have been?
Peninnah.
Yeah, she was probably jealous, but she had children. And so she one-upped her. And she would rub it in her face, rub it in her face, rub it in her face. So that was causing her great grief. And here she's at the Day of Atonement and she has grief in her life. Maybe there's something that causes you inward grief. Maybe something you're not even able to share with the class. Well, this lesson is for you. You know, Hannah had that. And she couldn't have children. And that was especially hard for women. And notice what it says in verse 7. "And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat." So she was fasting. "Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved?" So when she was supposed to be feasting, she was fasting. And it was over grief. "Am I not better to thee than 10 sons?" So what he's saying is, you might not have children like Peninnah, but you have me. You have my heart. I love you. You are my all in all. And to a woman, that's very important. But it wasn't enough for her. It wasn't enough for her. And so I see a picture here. What does this remind you of? What spiritual picture does this remind you of? Anybody see a picture here of us? We are married to whom?
Jesus.
And he is better to us than 10 sons, so to speak. He is so great to have a relationship to Jesus. But without spiritual children, if we don't have spiritual children, we're barren spiritually. And it shouldn't just be enough for us to have the love of the Lord. He said, you've not chosen me, I've chosen you, or ordained you. You should go and do what? Bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain. And that's in John 15, but it's talking about the fruit of new disciples. Go, he says, and bring forth fruit. So as we go out there, we should be bringing forth fruit of new disciples. And if we're not, that should bring us sorrow and grief. I wonder if it ever has in your life. I can think of times in my life when it did. And I remember praying to God and saying, God, I love you. I know you love me, but I'm not seeing fruit. And Jack Hiles had the same thing in his church. And he started fasting and he started losing weight and praying and going out to the woods. You know, when's the last time you prayed about that? And not just getting people saved, but getting them baptized. I said Wednesday night, I made commitment for about 13 to 15 years to lead one person to the Lord every day, at least. And I would have certain years, 450 people get not baptized, but saved, and maybe 30 to 40 or whatever it was, or 20, whatever it was that year to get baptized. But I can remember times that I didn't see anybody much getting saved and baptized. And I said, Lord, I don't want this. And I prayed about it. And I said, I want to break out of barrenness. And I had a message called Breaking Out of Barrenness. I still preach that from time to time, right from this thing. So, you know, this is a good thing to share in the old year. Are you breaking out of barrenness? And are you taking advantage of the opportunities that God gives you? We preached on that on Wednesday night called First Things First. If you didn't hear that message, get it on the app. Listen to it. It'll really help, I believe, our church. But that's something to look back to and then look forward and say, I want to break out of barrenness, man. I want to come to, you know, you want really want to have fun in church this year. Come to church with somebody you led to the Lord and bring them down the aisle to get baptized. That'll make you excited. Be working on that, you know, and work with others on that. That'll be exciting. And so there's this backward look, and Elkanah brought his family, and Hannah was looking backward and sharing what caused her bitterness. And notice it says in verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. All right, so we need to realize that, and it caused her to be in bitterness of soul, and we need to take a backward look and stand honestly before God, look at our lives, humble ourselves. When we look at our lives and our failures, our sins of omission and commission, when we do that, we need to confess our sin and decide to forsake it. And the Bible says we'll find mercy of the Lord and cleansing in the blood of Christ. You know, 1 John 1:9 says that. And I believe it's 1 John 1:10 says, I don't want to keep sinning, so we forsake our sin. And not one of us is what we ought to be. So have you been growing closer to the Lord in the last month, year, or farther away? That's what we need to look at. That's the backward look, okay? And then we have to do a forward look. Okay, so a forward look. And by the way, we ought to have times of fasting. Amen? A lot of Christians feast in America today, but they never fast. They just don't believe in fasting. But the Bible has many examples of fasting, and it goes along with confessing and seeking revival and seeking change in your life. So that's spiritual fasting, and that's important. And then that's the backward look. All right, let's look at the forward look. Hannah made request of the Lord. All right, so let's look at that and how Hannah made request of the Lord. Look at verse 10 again. And she was in bitterness and prayed. All right, verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come on his head. And now, let me ask you this. What based on that, it's pretty clear, but what based on that did Hannah pray for? What is she asking God for in verse 11? Yes. Mm-hmm. She's asking God for a son. So she's looking forward and she's saying, God, give me a son. She's praying, she's crying, she's fasting. She really wants this. When's the last time you really wanted something? And it's a good thing. Amen. Now, she says, when you give me that son, I am going to give him a Nazarite vow. It looks like for like Samson, no razor will come on his head. I'm going to put him under a Nazarite vow. And what else did she say she would do? That was huge. Yeah, Rose?
Give him back to the Lord.
Give him back to the Lord. Give him back to the Lord to be in full-time service for the Lord. And meant that she wouldn't be around him and she wouldn't see him except once a year when she went there to the tabernacle. So that was a huge commitment. She's saying, if you give me this, Lord, I won't forget and I will do my part. So is she really showing her sincerity? Oh, I would say so. She really wants this prayer and she's asking God for it and making that vow for it. Now, Hannah could not forget her vow. She told it to her husband. We know Eli heard it, the man of God, because he heard her weeping. And what did he think she did, Steve?
She was drinking from the bottle.
He thought she was drinking. Now, you say, well, you could be kind of hard on Eli and say that guy was a jerk to accuse her of that. She loved the Lord. But you got to remember, Eli had seen a lot of bad things happen with the people of God. And he had seen this, and so this was not the first time. Yeah.
That makes me think of that story about Kevin when he was so thin and he fasted and he couldn't.
Who?
Kevin Wynn.
Oh, yeah.
I remember stories of him grabbing, I don't know, something. He was so in.
Wow.
In his prayer that people thought he was.
Wow.
Cuckoo, but.
Interesting. And how God blessed that. And we could get things from God if we wanted the right things. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that we might consume it on their own lusts. How many pray like Kevin Wynn did? And look what he saw. How many pray like Jack Hiles did? And he was losing weight and fasting. And look what happened to him. And so, absolutely, we need to have those kind of testimonies. And Hannah had that. And God gave her, we know God gave her a son, but she couldn't forget her vow because, first of all, Eli knew about it. She told the man of God, I'm not drunk. This is what I'm praying for. And so he knew about it. She told her husband, and her husband knew about it. And look at verse 19 through 23. We'll finish up with this. 19 through 23, it says, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. And they would often name their children based on that. So Samuel has to do with asking him of the Lord. So not only did she have a son, but God blessed her in that Samuel became a great prophet of God. He became a great man of God. So she got a great blessing there. All right, so she kept her promise. Now, go forward to verse 21. It says, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord for the yearly sacrifice and his vow. Verse 22, but Hannah went not up. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. I remember going to pastor school, hearing a message on soul winning by David Gibb, and mainly on doing the impossible by David Gibb. And I didn't come forward that year to make that commitment to win one person every day to the Lord because it was such a big thing and I knew how big it was. I waited till the next year to do it. And then David Gibb was preaching a whole other message, but I came forward for last year. And I could see her. She's getting ready, the child ready, but she's taking this time till he's weaned to make good on her promise. But did she make good on her promise? Yes, she did. And God blessed her, and God blessed me when I was able to make good on my promise to lead one person to the Lord every day. Now, I'd like to look at one more thing, and that is a future backward look. So let's now go to the future where God has answered her and see, looking back, that the next time that Hannah went to Shiloh with her husband to the tabernacle, she gave Samuel to the service of the Lord. And so let's look at that in verse 24. It says, and when she weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed. And the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. That's where Samuel stayed and worshiped the Lord and became a great man of God and a great leader in Israel. Do you fully expect that at the close of this year, any vows that you have made at the start of this year will be remembered as being fulfilled, and sincerely vowing and promising and then asking God's help to keep your vow will bring the fulfillment of your vow. And Hannah did that every year. We'll close. Look at verse 17 now of chapter 2. Verse 17 of chapter 2. Actually, verse 18, it said, but Hannah ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Verse 19, moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. And she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Now, did she get a blessing for that? Look at this. Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan, look at that, for the loan which is lent unto the Lord. And they went unto their own home. Look at verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. You know what? Maybe you've given more for faith promise, given more for tithes and offerings to the general fund. I believe that's going on in our church. I have prayed, just like Eli prayed, for you, that God would give you more for what you've done, so that you can be a blessing. And that's exactly what happened here. So we never can outgive God. So let's go to your thing. Look at section 2 now of your inventory sheet again. What promises to God do you need to remake? What promises on your sheet for number 2 were kept and now need to be renewed from the last one? What new promises should be made to God? And those new promises are for section 3. The ones now, after this lesson, that you need to make to God. Make a section 3 and say, based on the Sunday school lesson, these are promises, you know, after hearing this class, for section 3 that I need to make to God. And add them to section 3. And Numbers 30, verse 2 says, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Very important. Very important. Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this core group, this mature group, this committed group. And Father, thank you for this Sunday school class on this first day of the new year, on looking back and looking forward, and then making these new promises. Lord, help us to make the right ones and to get the blessing and then to be faithful to do whatever we promised that we would do. Help us to follow through. I pray that this would be a more fruitful year for this church in giving and in going with the gospel than ever before, and that you would bless each person and each family that follows through. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Happy New Year. That tastes good. You're not supposed to ask that question.
I was trying to get a breeze from like Florida, but you corrupted me. Get back to Pennsylvania.
Wow. Here a guy in Florida and he's trying to get back to Pennsylvania. There's something.
I looked everywhere to find a church in Florida. I just couldn't find the right one.
Couldn't find
it. So I said, why not come back here?
Hey, I gave you a pretty good one, didn't I?
Yeah, but he's got life, but he doesn't have a successful full of life.
Oh,
he
man.
He's like, I feel like preaching. Doing push-ups.
You're
He had a lot of life. He didn't have the life.
He had to come back to script.
Pastor Leonard.
He's still there. Good. I'm glad he's still. He got a kick out of me all the years I had in ministry. He was like, wow, that's something.
He's a good guy. I enjoyed
it. Amen. Good to see you back.
Thank you.
Jose, thank you. I hope the Lord blesses you, because this, I don't usually drink like this. I would never borrow a water from anybody, but this really is needed today. I mean, I'd probably faint if I didn't have it. I mean, it's like, ugh. And I've been drinking all night, too. I've been like this, you know.
Hey. For my shoulder, my right shoulder, it is in pain.
Really? Right shoulder?
Yeah. Like a lot of pain.
Father, we already claim it by faith that you have the need for Kyle, Lord. He's helped others. Help him. He's been a blessing to others. Bless him, Lord, with that shoulder. I pray for your healing hand upon it, and just pray that you would bless him. I remember one time he got healed, and I was shaking his shoulder, shaking him, and he got blessed. But I'm not going to do that, but I just pray you touch him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Matt, you pray I remember your Bible. It's sitting there, and I keep, this thing is falling apart. And that Bible, I want to bring it down. I can't remember to bring it. Because every morning I'm rushing out doing this and that, and I forget my Bible. I get here, I'm like, where's my Bible? So anyway,